most of you know, of course, that Andy and Val Simcock are our missionaries in Thailand, and so we went to see them. And I've got a slideshow which we're going to start shortly. It's a big slideshow, so I just wanted to get on with it, really. And if I'm speaking, there you go. If I'm spending too long talking about any particular slide, you know, just give me the hurry up, and it'll do that, I'm sure. So Andy and Val, as you know, have been over there for about 2.5 years. They originally just felt the call of God to go over there and see what God wanted to do with them. And so they really didn't know very much about what they was going to do. But they've been there 2.5 years, and God has shaped their vision. And we've already heard from them, you know, when they was over in whenever it was, August last year. Last year. Terrible, isn't it? Anyway, yeah, next slide. Just to explain, I don't know if you've ever looked at the map of Thailand. It's quite a big country. Bangkok is there in the sort of middle, and that's the capital. So we fly into Bangkok and out of Bangkok, and everywhere you go really via Bangkok. And Chiang Rai is about 10 minutes, hour and a quarter's flight from Bangkok. So you can see it's like going from London to Aberdeen or somewhere like that. And similarly, it's another hour and so to get down to Phuket. So many of you know we did have a Tagger holiday on the end of our trip. So I'm not going to show you all of those pictures, but next slide, please. Our objectives for going are listed up there, and primarily they were pastoral reasons, really. We wanted to go and see what they was doing, how they was doing it, whether they was looking after themselves, and what else we could do to help them in that. So that's why we primarily went. And I'm hopefully not going to read every word that's on the slide. If you want to read them, that's fine. And the next slide, we're just going to kick off here. Our heart really was to go and encourage Andy and Val. And, you know, visits to missionaries overseas are not all that common. You know, we spoke to a number of folk over there that said, no, we've never been visited by our home church and by the leaders of that church. So, and I have to say, they're not always good news either. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that a bit later on. On the plane, on the way over, I mean, obviously, I'd been praying about going over there. And on the way there, I just sat in the plane. And I said, Lord, what do you want to say to them? And God graciously gave me just a few words, really. And, you know, on the one hand, I looked at it and thought, well, you know, that really doesn't look very significant. They met us at the airport. They took us straight to a restaurant, which we really appreciated. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And we sat there and I said, look, before you say anything, we don't want to know anything about what you're doing, but I just feel that God wants to say this to you. And they sat there and they said, wow, you know, that hits about three of the things that we've had on our hearts and minds we've been praying about. So, you know, I felt that, you know, just in those first hour or so of meeting, that we'd encourage them. And indeed, when we left, and you know, I read out an email, didn't I, just before Christmas. Andy and Val said, you were a real blessing to us, and we really enjoyed your visit. So that was great. And the next slide. We wanted to take a gift, and we took up an offering. And thank you so much for those of you that gave. And Barbara's not here today, but threatening to throw herself out of an aeroplane to help raise a few more funds. We actually raised about £483, and there was a couple of other gifts that came in as well that brought the total to about £935. And there you can see what Andy and Val said. Please pass on to our thanks for the gift from our Slough family for the work out here. It's really appreciated and will be used wisely. But more than that, it really warms our hearts when they do something so unexpected like that, making us feel so much closer than the many miles apart would suggest. So there you go. So you bless them. Isn't that good to know? Amen. And we wanted to see how they live. And if we can have the next slide. So I just want to say they are living very comfortably. And that's very important. They do have friends that they meet with regularly, and although the church situation is not everything that they would want it to be, and they may in fact be moving church, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments as well. They go to the only church out there which has meetings in Thai and in English, so there's not a great deal of choice for them. And although their Thai is coming on well, they know a lot of words and stuff, but actually to follow a conversation or to follow a message in Thai is really quite difficult. As I say, they are living quite comfortably. And, you know, we have had a missionary in the past went out to Cambodia, not Dave and Van, Laura Van, who you know, but it was a young woman, middle-aged woman, really, who got so consumed with the local issues there and the lifestyle of the people that she just stopped caring for herself, really. She started eating like the locals did, and she got very sick and had a breakdown and had to come home. So it's very important that people do look after themselves properly. So in the next slide, you'll see where they live, where Andy and Val live, and you see it's not a slum. But you know that they purchased this house with money that they released from downsizing their house in Slough. So no ministry money has gone into this house and to sustain the lifestyle. They are supporting themselves from their own personal funds. And there you see the label on the door, the Glowing Life Foundation, if you can only read it. Even they have trouble reading it. So this is the street that they live in. It's a project, what they call a project over there. So similar houses, some of them are still being built, and it all looks very peaceful, doesn't it? And indeed it is peaceful, but at 7 o'clock in the morning they start playing music on the tannoy, the government sort of initiative there, and at 8 o'clock you get a stirring message from the government. But it's okay, you don't really hear that. So still talking about how they're living over there, and the next slide will show you. When we came back from Chiang Mai, which was a side trip that we did, we walked back to this to a surprise birthday party for Val. She was 60 on the Tuesday that we was with them, and so a number of her friends gathered and we had a barbecue, and it was really great to be there. And the next one shows Andy is very skilled at the barbecue, and we had a couple of barbecues while we was there. So there you can see a little bit of how they live. The next one shows one of their friends behind making the hearts shape behind them, and it was good just to be with Andy and Val and to see how they do care for each other, how they look after each other. And so it's really, really good. The next slide shows another guy that I'm sure many of, or some of you at least, will recognise, Frank Smith from Slough. He was one of the contacts that they had over in Thailand, and in fact they're best friends now, and they spend time together, they barbecue together, and Frank's a lovely chap, and we really got on well with Frank. And he said when he comes back to the UK for a visit, he's certainly going to look in and see us. In fact, he said, I wish that I had a pastor like you. So I thought that was lovely, and I was really blessed. So the next slide is starting to talk about the work that they are doing there. And obviously their main focus at the moment, and Andy's main area that he's been working towards, is establishing the Glowing Life Foundation, which is the organisation that they're going to build the boys' home under. They've got a couple of, I think they've told us anyway, but they have a couple of Thai trustees as well as themselves, and they've got that all established. It's all legal and everything. And you'll see some pictures of the land as well soon. helping at the Burmese border and visiting HIV and AIDS patients. It was really quite awe-inspiring, really, to see the number of issues that they are involved in, number of initiatives that they are involved in, with Frank and with others over there. And so the next picture shows Annette in her red trousers. My mum got quite fed up. We showed her some pictures, and every time a picture came on of Annette, you know, she would say, "There am I, there am I, there, I can see there you are," you know. But there you go. They're standing at the gates of their land. So it comes this way a bit further and over to that line of trees up the side there, and goes back quite a long way. The gates are held together with a bit of rusty barbed wire, so you have to be careful how you undo those. The next picture shows the fish pond at the end of their land. So right down to that line of trees at the bottom there is their land, or the Glowing Life land. So many of you know, I think, that they have already had some work done there. They've cleared this ground and drained the lake or deepened the lake, and this is going to be a fish pond, and I'm sure they'll be looking for some donations of fish a bit later on, once they really get going. The next picture shows an area of consolidated ground, and this is a bit bigger than the actual plot that they're going to build the boys' home, but it's levelled there and just waiting for them to start the foundations early this year. And I said that they'd levelled the ground, and the next picture shows the 3 weeks' growth of a banana plant. So you see they have to keep on top of it, but it's a fertile sort of place. And it was good to go around there and pray over that land and just see, you know, what God could do there. A number of years ago, I went to India, down in the south of India, and visited a site that was being developed as a children's home. And I saw it, first of all, in this sort of state where they was drilling for water, which they found. And a couple of years later, I went back and I was amazed at what this place looked like. It was absolutely fabulous. And Andy certainly intends to cultivate the soil, not just to have the home there, but to grow plants and, as I say, to harvest the fish there so that they can be as self-supporting as they can be, although certainly they do need to buy some meat to supplement that, you know, what they can grow. This was actually taken off of their ground, off of the Glowing Life Foundation, and it just seemed to me, as I looked up, I could see the eye of God just overlooking the foundation land and the future boys' home. And I was thrilled, and they were thrilled when they saw the picture. So that's great, isn't it? The next picture shows, and you've seen some better pictures from Andy and Val, because we went to the drop-in centre, but we were there really after hours, so the children had gone, and so we couldn't really see the work. Well, we did see some of the children, actually. We crossed over into Burma. I'll show you a picture of that in a minute. The next picture, actually, is taken from the roof of that place, and it's looking out into Burma. Just the other side of that building is a river, and the other side of the river is actually Burma. And all this whole area is just tied up with the sex trade. In fact, the roof that I was standing on is shared with the sex parlour next door, and the girls was up there hanging their washing out as I was taking the picture. And I said to Frank, I said, "Look, you know, I've got to be careful. You see, the other day that guy... That vicar got himself in trouble, didn't he, for saying, if you've got to steal from anywhere, steal from a supermarket or something." And, of course, it was reported. And I don't want to do that, but I said, "Look, you know, I can understand when you're living in that poverty and where there is nothing else to do, how, you know, people might get sucked into the sex trade." I said, but it's the visitors that they have there that I feel annoyed about, angry, you know, the sex tourism that goes on. And Frank said, well, I understand what you're saying, he said, but you've got to understand that this is like a training area. They bring the kids here and they break them in for the sex trade throughout Thailand. And he said it's quite a common sight to see a young child on the back of a motorbike where a sex tourist has gone. They've ordered a, you know, whatever age, boy or girl, and he said the whoever's managing that child takes them along, hands them over to the tourist, takes his money, gives them a set of cufflinks so they can chain the child to the bed. When they go out to eat, the hotel people are involved. They bring food up to the child while the tourist is away. So it really is a very dark area that they're working in. And so the next picture again is another view just looking out into Burma. And the next one again, we're actually standing in Burma. We went across the border, cost us £10 each. We had to have our photo taken, and didn't actually take our fingerprints as well, but took photocopies of our passports and all that sort of stuff. So, in fact, Frank, when he goes over there, doesn't allow them to keep his passport. He takes gets them to issue a chit or something. I've got it the wrong way around. He leaves his passport at the Thai border, because if he's disappeared when he's over there, at least the authorities in Thailand would know that he's missing. So yeah, we had to leave our passports behind and go across with a piece of paper. So there it is. And the immediate impression you get as you walk into to Burma is of poverty and need, neglect. You can smell it as you go across the bridge and see it in the people that are there trying to sell you stuff. But it was wonderful as well to we saw a couple of the kids actually clambering across the border fence, and unfortunately I didn't get my camera up quick enough to take a picture of them. But the kids can get in, and that's the kids that go to the drop-in centre, or a lot of the kids that go to the drop-in centre. And the kids recognised Andy and Val, you know, as we was walking along, and they come up and they swing in on our hands, and they're lovely. They're filthy and in rags, but they're just kids, you know, King's kids. So a lot of people go into Burma from Thailand because the shopping is so much cheaper there, and there's an enormous market just there. So you can see I thoroughly enjoyed that part of the trip. Enjoyed the next bit though. There's the duty free shop. It's a lot better place to you get much better wine at a much more reasonable price than in Thailand. So we didn't go back empty-handed, but we needed it for the party that was to follow, of course. Anyway, the day after that, I think it was, that Frank took us out, and if we can have the next slide, he took us into a few tribal villages to meet some of the people that he's helping to care for, and Val helps him in doing this. These are people with HIV and AIDS. And he had made a few appointments, so he took us along to meet the folk that he was going to see. This lady was very, very seriously ill. She has now got on medication. Her husband is also ill, and he's on medication. But since having the medication, they are much improved. And as far as we know, their little girl does not have HIV. So this was in her home, and she made us very welcome. And the next picture shows the outside of this particular home. Not at all typical of the tribal villages that we went to, as you'll see, but Supporting Hearts that Frank works for. Frank goes into the hospitals there, is accepted there, and he goes in and he visits the patients there. And when the patients are released after 2 or 3 days, their conditions have been stabilised, they don't have anybody to follow them up, or not for many months. but Frank follows them up, and Val goes with him and helps him in that ministry. So Supporting Hearts is the ministry that he virtually runs, and they provided funds, and some of the village neighbours helped build that land, build that that house for them. He took his wife's four-wheel drive car when we visited some of these places, because they're quite steep and quite, you know, if it rains or whatever, it can be quite difficult to get in and out of. The next picture is more typical of the Thai homes, wood built on stilts, storage underneath, and stuff like that. And the next one again. So you walk around, you're not quite sure whether you're looking at a hut or somebody's home, or you know, it can be quite dilapidated, some of the these tribal villages. But they're very distinct, all the tribal areas. You know, the people hold on to their traditions, their costume very, very well. We were there during the rice harvest, in fact, at that particular time, anybody that is able to gets out and helps their families and their friends bring in the harvest. So although we went to Frank had made appointments to visit some of these folk, they weren't all there, but we did receive a very warm welcome from two grandmas, and the next you can see on the next picture, and they were lovely, and they gave us big hugs. Well, big, I mean, they came up to about there, but they were super. And then after that, Frank took us to one of his favourite restaurants. And as I think it was my son said, "Oh, well, you're looking very happy there. You must have paid for that one." 5 lunches for less than £4. Big bowl of soup and chicken and the stuff in there. And it was brilliant. So that was great. After that, they took us to the children's home that they're working with. And this is a Child Life Children's Home. That's the church that they've built on the land, and it's not a posh place, but the children there are loved and cared for. This is all in the exclusion zone. There's something like a 14-kilometer, I think it is, strip along the border there. And if anybody gets out of Burma, because Burma is not a good place to be, right? But if they do get out of Burma, you know, most people don't have any papers, any identity, so they're allowed to stay in this exclusion zone. But they can't go any further than that. And you just wonder, you know, what the future holds for people like that. But anyway, this children's home is certainly making life a lot more comfortable for some of those kids. The next picture shows a couple of the volunteers there. I've got 9 staff, 3 volunteers, and 100 children. It was a Saturday, I think, when we was there, and so we didn't see all that many of the children, but the next picture shows Andy ministering to the children there in his inimitable style. And that's so important, you know. These kids, you know, they just don't know, you know, father figures that will love them and just play with them. And they love Andy. And so that's really good to see. I've got a number of pictures of him playing football and ball games with them. But the next picture shows the sort of conditions that many of them sleep in, even in the children's home, which look pretty basic, sleeping on the floor, you know, with maybe 1 or 2 bags and a couple of toys, and that's it. But it's so much better than sleeping on the streets or being sold into the sex trade, you know. So that's lovely. And one of the girls that you saw in the last picture, she used to be in there as a sort of resident there, but she's now helping out. She's one of the volunteers. Next picture shows Val with a young guy there called Yabba. I say he's got a very special place in the Simcox hearts. And I've told a couple of people, and even as I sort of tell folk, it sort of catches in my throat a bit. He was 7. He used to go along to the drop-in centre, and it was his dad that used to take him there. His dad was very sick, very, very sick. And then one day a strange woman they didn't recognise brought Yabba into the drop-in centre, said, his dad has just died and he doesn't know another soul in the world. And Andy and Val was there that day and took Yabba, took him to the children's home, where he still is, and is doing very nicely. You know, he's growing into a nice young man. And the next picture is a close-up of him, but he's too ashamed of his teeth to smile. But a lovely chap he is. The next picture shows part of the ministry that Andy has really got involved in quite recently, and that's to run a discipleship course at the drop-ins centre. These young men, and Florence there is translator, she helps there as well. She's a great girl. But these young men help out in the drop-in centre. Again, they've probably been brought up in the children's home. Probably they've all been exposed to the sex trade at some stage in their life. But now they've accepted Jesus, and they're going on with him. So Andy's going in there, he's doing some discipleship stuff with them. And Florence is actually writing all his notes down. And then Florence takes her notes back to her dad in Burma, where he is a pastor, and he's using these notes to encourage and to teach his folk there. So that's great, isn't it? There's something about God's economy there. So it was lovely to see that. So Andy and Val's needs. How are we doing? You're doing fine on time. The next slide, please. It's coming up. Has it got stuck? The next slide talks about the needs. What they've said is that since undertaking this work, the spiritual climate is hotting up. You know, they feel under a lot more pressure themselves. And so they said, would you ask the folk to pray for protection, for health, and for wisdom, and for the finances to arrive? You know, they've got something like £12,000 of the £40,000 they need, and that doesn't include everything. It doesn't include fencing along the side of their property, which they need. It doesn't include things like the stocking of the fish pond and stuff like that. And it may be, well be, you know, that as the centre gets built, that, you know, that if anybody here wants to go out and help build a wall or something like that, or help prepare some of the ground, and that's a possibility. But right now, they said, please pray that the finances arrive. They're also, as I say, looking for a kingdom-based church, and all the churches out there, let me find another piece of paper here. All the churches out there tend to be quite manipulative. The pastors are quite controlling of the people. And we went with them on Sunday to the church. They said, you don't have to go, but we wanted to just experience. And it was a lovely big church, and we met the pastor a couple of times over there. It's an American, and it's a Baptist church. And yet, I don't know whether it's just succumbed to the the same sort of culture. You remember when Andy was here, he was talking about the fight that he's always got is to try and bring the kingdom of God into people's understanding, into their hearts and into their lives. And it seems as though all the churches are sold out to the culture over there. The church program, if you want to see it, is here for that particular week, with an outline of the message and little blanks that people can fill in as it goes. There it is in Thai. But all of the scriptures that he used are printed in the leaflet, so that you can't see them in context. So we took our Bibles and we was looking at them in context, because the pastor was talking about it, the context of it, but it wasn't necessarily the whole story. Things of the Holy Spirit, things like healing and spiritual gifts, are not talked about at all. So he is manipulative. One of Andy's trustees, a lovely young lady, was actually offered a position to work for the church, which, you know, that is the holy grail of jobs over there. And so she accepted this offer to go and work with him. That means that she has to live on the premises 6 nights a week. She has to go to all of the meetings and everything like that. There are married people there, work for the church. They are not allowed to go home in that time. They have to sleep actually at the church. And I just somehow doesn't seem quite right to me, and I don't think I'd get away with it here even if I wanted to. It was talking about the army of God on the day that we was there, and in the end he had everybody stand up and read, first of all in Thai and then in English, this statement. It was originally written by Ralph and Wilma Poulter. Do you know them? And adapted and modified by Michael Johnson. That's the pastor. Okay. Now, see what you think. There's a lot of good stuff in here, but what do you think? What would you say if we asked you to do this? Everybody to say together. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commander-in-chief. The Bible is my code of conduct. Love, faith, prayer, and the Bible are my weapons of warfare. I am enlisted in this army for all eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die. I mean, we could argue about that perhaps, but maybe not. Or die in this army, but I will not walk out, sell out, or be pushed out. I will be faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I will be there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me. Because I want to be a good soldier. I am a soldier for Jesus. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, or candy. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, or catered to. I am a soldier for Jesus. I commit myself to saluting my commander-in-chief, obeying his orders, helping others obey his orders, and building his kingdom. I am a good soldier for Jesus. Here I stand and fight for the hearts, thoughts, and souls of men for the sake of my commander-in-chief. I will use love, faith, prayer, and the word of God for my weapons. Will you be a good soldier for Jesus and stand and fight with me? So there's a lot of good stuff there. But there's a few bits that I wouldn't say. So there you go. Just a few more pictures there, just general sort of shots. Coffee at the Mekong River. This is the border with Laos. Just to see, you know, it wasn't work all the way. And the next picture shows us with a Thai guard there at the one of the guard posts along the way. And let me see what's coming up. And the next picture shows that same guard post, you know, with the trenches. And they still have border skirmishes from time to time. People try and break in and they have little bundles now and again. But, of course, they're protected by their gods over there, which should be seen on the next picture. All these chickens standing to attention. I tried looking them up, but on the internet I couldn't find any of them, so I don't know where they come from. The next picture is taken at the Golden Triangle. Thailand, Burma and Laos. Well, you're standing in Thailand and you're looking out on Burma and Laos at this particular point. The Golden Triangle, of course, is famous. It was used in developing the drugs trade, and you know it's probably still going on in Burma and Laos, but Thailand itself has taken a very strong stand against it, and the drugs have all been destroyed, and anybody that's anything to do with it just gets shot. So they don't have a problem anymore. So the next picture, after the Golden Triangle, is the Rubber Triangle. We was on our way down to Chiang Mai, which is about 3 hours or 3.5 hours drive from Chiang Rai, to meet another couple. And this was a charity initiative there to combat HIV and AIDS. This place is called Cabbages and Condoms. And I think, you know, if you buy anything there, you get a free condom. Oh, I was cheated. I didn't get one. Mind you, I only bought a bottle of water, so perhaps it's not surprising. And the next picture shows Stuart and Michelle Simpson, who we went down to meet, introduced Andy and Val to them. Lovely couple. Can I just tell you a little bit about them? They served about 7 years in China, went over there, learnt the language in China, and served as missionaries in China. Then went back home. They served for 4 years in Bradford, started a ministry called Culture Cross, and they was reaching out to the Chinese students and other students in the university there. And that's where we met our Chinese daughter and me. And not through them, but she used to work with them as well. So we went to visit them up in Bradford and got to know them a little bit. So for the last 2 years, they've been back in Thailand and developing the ministry over there. His teaching has developed a good teaching program, which he's delivering to men over there. And she's developed, she studied, actually, with animal-assisted something or other, welfare. Many of the people over there are just so traumatized, and you know, they just will not respond to people or even dogs and cats. So she's sort of trained to be able to use dogs and other animals to help rehabilitate these people back into life. And so she's got a beautiful dog and lots of other animals, and she takes them to meet these people, and gradually over the weeks and the months these guys get and girls get used to stroking a dog, and it helps just to rehabilitate them. So that's what she's working, and she's great. She's really got an appreciation of the grace of God, you know, how, you know, God doesn't give you something to do that you don't enjoy. But if you've got a desire in your heart, something in your heart that you really enjoy doing, God can use it. Because God put that in there. And God can use it for his purposes. And she loves animals. And so God has given her this method of using them to reach and to help people. So they're lovely. But I said, have you had a visit from a pastor, your home pastor? And they said, we did. After we'd been here 1 year, we had an old pastor came out to see us. She said, I came over here. She said, I was quite emotionally hurt for one reason or another, and we didn't go into that. But she said, after a year, I was just about finding my feet again. He came over and did nothing but criticise them and the work that they was doing. And it set her back a year. So that's why I say, you know, that not all pastoral visits are good news. There you go. The next picture. Annette loves bargaining, and bargaining can be great fun. But you know, when you see a lady like this, can you be too mean? I just think that's a lovely expression on her face. The next picture shows part of Chiang Rai. There's not a great deal of tourism in Chiang Rai, but this is the newest. It's called the White Temple, which looks spectacular. You know, it's all covered in white marble and mirrors and reflects the sun. But it's only when you get a bit closer that you start to see, like in the next slide, and I don't know if you can see there, you know, this monster here on the left is spewing out another demon there, and those demons up there, you know, with their cutlass, and absolutely grotesque, horrible things. And the next picture again, you walk past on either side of the path this thing that's actually set in the ground, so it looks like these hands just reaching out, grasping from the earth. And you know, I've written on there, mission is the agenda. You've probably heard me say before, you know, that mission is not on the agenda. It's not even high on the agenda. Mission is the agenda. God has called us all to mission, whether it's here in Slough or in our own street, in our own school, or wherever it is we work, in our own place of business, or whether it's on the other side of the world. Mission is the agenda. You can just imagine, you know, all these souls just crying out, saying, you know, give me life. And of course, that's what Jesus offers us, and that's what we can hold out to people. And the next picture is down in Phuket. And that's the only picture of our holiday that I'm going to show you. If you want to see any more, you've got to come round and you can see them at our house. Absolutely beautiful. Spectacular. Sea temperatures, 29 degrees. And then finally, the last word goes to Andy and Val. Please give everyone our love. We look forward to seeing you all in June. That picture there in the there's a Christian bookshop in Chiang Mai that they've been looking for a long time. They finally found it, and we was able to buy them a lot of books there in Thai, English titles, you know, the things we recognise as being good, but actually translated into Thai. So we bought them an armful of that so that they could take it back and use it in the ministry. So that was it. That's what we did. And hope you found it sort of interesting. Thank you.